Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. We have a very special guest today, Dr. Gandhi, who's part of the Advocate Systems. We want to welcome Dr. Gandhi, who is a cardiologist and has some information for us he'd like to share. He is a man of knowledge and a man of great abilities, and he's got a great reputation. So we are very, very happy to have him join us today. Doc, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
So let's start with the basic things. When people say, what is coronary heart disease? I mean, it's a pretty basic thing, but do really people know what coronary heart disease really is?
Coronary artery is a vessel that supplies the blood flow to the heart. And because of this blood flow to the heart, the heart pumps and gives blood to the rest of the body. Once there is a plaque buildup, we call calcium buildup, you know, sometimes we call hardening of the arteries. The different word that we use, atherosclerosis is a more medical term. It creates the narrowing of the coronary arteries. It gives a lack of blood flow or restricted blood flow to the heart and eventually affect the heart muscle pumping functions. And it can damage the heart muscle and patient eventually get a heart attack. So coronary artery disease is a disease of the heart that caused by a lot of atherosclerosis, a lot of plaque. And usually patients presented with chest pain, heaviness. And many times patient is the first symptoms of having heart attack. They come to the hospital with just heart attack. And a lot of patients, they don't even have any chest pain. I've seen the people have a lot of atypical symptoms, especially the female. They have a shortness of breath. And many patients complain they feel uneasiness, sweatiness at nighttime. Nausea. So a variety of the symptoms we see in patients with the coronary artery disease, sometimes it's difficult to recognize. Coronary artery disease is a leading cause of death in this country. About 600,000 patients die from the coronary artery disease. One out of four deaths happen in this country. It carries, I would say, about $200 billion healthcare costs. There are several factors that we can modify. Some of the factors we cannot modify to prevent the heart disease. And
well, let me ask you a question, Doc. If someone's not sure, let's say they don't have any of these symptoms, but they're thinking, boy, could I possibly be one of those candidates that's maybe it's there, it's just sleeping, it's, you know, it's very quiet, but I'm not seeing anything. My body seems the same, but I want to be sure I'm okay. Are there tests that can be run or things that can be done?
Yeah, sure. Many times patients have a silent heart attack and they don't recognize and they go to the doctor's office and we do some testing and it shows you have a heart attack in the past and they don't have a symptom. Especially I see in patients who have diabetes, they don't have much symptoms and it's because of the sugar affect their nerves so they don't feel a chest pain. There are several ways to diagnose the coronary artery disease. One of the thing is non-invasive way by doing a stress test, by doing EKGs. And also another new modality that we have is by doing a CT scan of the heart. Invasive way we diagnose coronary artery disease is by doing an angiogram. It's more invasive procedure. We do it in the hospital. The small catheter passes through the groin artery and then goes in the heart and take a picture of the arteries and see whether this is a blockage or not. We tell the patient how much is a blockage, what percentage of the blockage is that. So there's a different variety of tools we have that we diagnose the coronary artery disease.
You know, we should tell the audience, too, I know I introduced you, Doc, but your background, I'm sure people are wondering, well, gee, he's a cardiologist, but what's his background? We should have talked about, you know, your training, your learning. I mean, I know a lot goes into becoming a cardiologist. Let's tell the folks a little bit about your background.
So I train here. I'm in Chicago for last 24 years. I did my residency here in Chicago and Park Ridge and also did my fellowship there. Since then, I've been practicing. So I graduated from 2009, so almost 13, 14 years I've been practicing cardiologist here with the Advocate Heart Institute in Good Shepherd Hospital area. Mainly a focus on prevention. I like the prevention because we know there's no better than, you know, prevention is better than cure, but also deal with a lot of variety of the cardiovascular disease, valvular heart disease, and coronary artery disease, as well as the electrical disturbance of the heart called arrhythmias. I've been practicing in the Crystal Lake area for the last several years.
And I have to tell you, when you meet Dr. Gandhi in person, he looks to me like he's about 21 years old. Now, I'm not going to ask him his age on the air, but he's a very young man, and I think you'd enjoy him, enjoy talking to him, because he's very low-key, listens. He's a good listener, and I know a lot of people worry about that, like, is my doctor a good listener? Well, Dr. Gandhi's a good listener, so I think you'll appreciate that. Doc, can you tell the folks what the risk factors are for heart disease?
Yeah, and I usually divide it in a two category. One, that's something that you can change, and one group of the risk factor that you cannot change. And the factor that you cannot change, we call non-modifiable, such as age. As we get older, there's a plaque buildup, calcium buildup in arteries. Ethnicity, some ethnic group has a more heart disease compared to other ethnic groups. So that's something you cannot change. And another most important risk factor is the heart disease in a family. If you have somebody in your family, your parents or your siblings has heart disease under age of 55, that carries the risk to you or your children. So that's a key thing. So three things are age, ethnicity, and the family history of heart disease are the key risk factor for the heart disease. This is non-modifiable, we call it. Now, other group of the patient, which are the 80% of the heart disease that we see, is the modifiable. And if I put all this together, we call metabolic syndrome. So it includes the high blood pressure, it includes the sugar problem, diabetes, we call abnormal lipids, the cholesterol, hyperlipidemia, obesity. So these four factors are combined together, we call metabolic syndrome. And if you have any of two or three, your heart disease, the risk of the heart disease doubles up. Other risk factors, smoking is one of the biggest risk factor for the heart disease. Stress, we have seen a lot of stress, depression, any kind of other stress can affect the heart, and sedentary lifestyle. So these are the factors that you can modify and prevent the future heart disease.
Did you see during the pandemic, that period of time, did you see more stress with people, or was that more apparent during the pandemic?
Yeah, and during the pandemic, definitely there was a significant stress. And because of the stress, and a lot of time the work-wise, and the people were working at home, we see that they developed sedentary lifestyle. The gym was closed and people was unable to get out for any exercise. So we have seen the increased obesity numbers. We see the patients gain their weights, and definitely once you gain weight, there's definitely the risk of having high blood pressure, diabetes. So a pandemic really affected a lot of patients. During the pandemic, we saw the COVID affect the heart. We have seen several patients, quite a bit patients with electrical problems of the heart, damage the heart muscle because of the COVID virus.
Well, I did not know that. That's very interesting. There's a test that's called the coronary calcium score or heart scan. Can you tell us what that is, Doc?
Yeah, this is one of the new modality that we've been using. It's called CT scan of the heart or calcium score of the heart. In an earlier question, you mentioned about how we diagnose the coronary artery disease. We do stresses, we do invasive testing. But none of the stress test does not tell you whether you have a plaque buildup or not. So the CT scan tells you whether you have any calcium buildup inside the heart or not. So this is a quick CT scan. It takes about 10 minutes to do the test. There is no IV, there is no contrast, there is no dye they use. And in most of the places they charge you, it's a $49 test. But it gives you a lot of good information about the heart. It tells you which artery has how much calcium buildup, how much plaque buildup, and it gives you a score. And the scores tells you that what risk category are you on.
You know, when you think about it, for $49 to get that kind of information, that's really a bargain basement deal. I mean, really, to find that out, is that something that is in recent times become more popular, the CT scan for your heart?
Yeah, in last 4 or 5 years, it's become more popular. And the reason that we learned more about the CT scan, there's a lot of research came out, a lot of data came out. It tells you the probability of having heart disease in the next 5 to 10 years. So this is one of the best tests we have to tell the patients what their future risk of heart disease.
So if someone comes to visit you, is that something that could be done on the premises where you're located? Or do you have to go to the hospital for the CT scan?
There are several centers around this area that can do a CT scan of the heart, done in the hospital area as well as also some of the outpatient area.
Okay. So they would do that. You'd like write a script or something like that and then have it done and be sent back to you so you get the information on it.
Yeah, we just have to write the order. And then many times, you know, because it's a $49 test, sometimes you just go in, you don't need any order, and they will just do it for you, and you can just show the result to your doctor.
Oh, okay. When you talk about coronary calcium score, is that a numerical score? How is that work? How does that work, Doc?
So they give you a score based on calculation. So basically they calculate the calcium particle in each artery and come up with a score and tell you, is this a score, is it zero, or is this a score, is 1,000? And they distribute it based on your age and gender, and then give you a probability across the, you know, what is your score of 50-year-old male, the calciums across the country, and then compare then what percentile are you on. So, for example, if you are a 50-year-old man and if your calcium score is 200, that gives you a percentile that you are on 80th or 90th percentile of the age and gender. That means only a few 10 or 15% people on that age group has this high score, and you are one of those. So that puts you in high-risk category.
Okay.
Same thing if you are 70-year-old patient, and if you do a calcium, and if your calcium score is 200, it puts you in low-risk category because we know as we get older, calcium build up. So 200 score may not be a bad for a 70-year-old patient, but 200 score probably is not good for the 50-year-old patient.
So it depends on your age then when you get the calcium score. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So, and that score also, it sounds like it's some kind of a table based, like you're talking about the different age, different times or different ages of the people. Is that number that's some kind of a recipe or formula that's loaded into the system for that percentage, that 200, whatever it may be? Is that already predetermined for the different age groups?
I think they use a particular software to calculate the score and gives you a percentile.
We're going to pause for 1 minute to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. And we're spending time with Dr. Gandhi, who's a cardiologist with the Advocate System. And Dr. Gandhi has graciously allowed us to take some of his time here this evening away from his busy schedule to talk about heart and heart disease, and we should watch for things that we should do. And we want to thank him for that. We're just talking about calcium scores, which is something I don't think most people think about. But that calcium score, when you do get it, that score, it means something depends upon your age. Is that correct, Doc?
Yes. That's why the higher the score, more likely will develop some sort of heart disease in the next few years. So that gives you a future risk based on a lot of research that's been done over the last 5-10 years.
So if you're a patient and it has the higher risk, then what are the next steps after that? What comes after that?
So that's a good question. I find this calcium score is one of the ways we can motivate our patients, because we know the risk factors for the heart disease that I mentioned, you know, obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, smoking, a lot of stress, sedentary lifestyle. So when we see the patient go for the calcium score, when we see the calcium coming higher, we tell the patient definitely about, you know, changing their lifestyle modifications and controlling diabetes, controlling blood sugar. We usually prescribe them as a medication called aspirin and a cholesterol-lowering agent, depending upon their score, depending upon the other risk factor. But the most important thing, the value for this calcium score is that by knowing that patient that they develop the hardening of the artery, they develop the plaque, these patients are more likely to change their lifestyles. Before that, the calcium score, we tell the patient, yes, just control your blood pressure, control your diabetes, you know, do more exercise. But when they see that they already start having a plaque inside their artery, I think it gives them more motivation, more anchor, to change their lifestyle.
So basically, the CT scan is something that people who are, would you say, the age group from 50 years of age and older should have this scan done?
Usually, I mean, this can be done. You know, anybody wants to do it, they can do it. I think just wanted to know whether there's any hardening of the artery or not. There's a plaque buildup. But usually I recommend the age group between 40 to 70 year old who wants to know whether there's any plaque buildup or not. Usually I don't recommend people already developed the heart disease, already has a bypass surgery, already has angioplasty, because we know they already has a plaque buildup. So usually I recommend the patients who are have a risk factor. Even though they have one risk factor, they can do go and order the test.
Okay. And you say it's a very simple, non-invasive test.
It's a very simple test. It takes 10 minutes. Again, it's a cheap test. It gives a lot of valuable information about the heart and future risk of heart disease.
You know, we see a lot of things on TV, special diets and special exercise programs and, you know, different gyms you can go to and all these kind of things. What basically are the steps that patients should take to truly improve their heart health? What would you recommend, Doc?
You know, there are several things that are out there that you can do it. I think the most important thing is to as long as you control your risk factors, watch your diet. Now, there are diet, watch for sugar, diet, watch for the salt. It's most important thing is that how you handle your diet. High cholesterol patient, you know, avoid the fried foods. That is the key things on it. And along with that exercise program, many times patients just do a diet and they don't do exercise. Some patients just do exercise and they don't eat healthy. So it's together works a very synergic effect on the heart, reducing the future heart disease. So exercise, usually I recommend that patients should exercise at least 30 to 40 minutes, 5 to 7 times a week. Any moderate degree of exercise, even the simple fast-paced walking, they don't have to do a fancy exercise. But exercise is a key thing. And most important thing, the controlling your diet. In whatever way, there's a different diet protocols are out there. But the most important thing is to having some fruits and vegetables in your diet, having a fiber in your diet, cutting back on extra salt on your food, watching what ingredient, when you go for shopping, look for the ingredient, make sure don't have a high salt content, make sure it's not, you know, frozen food, you know. So there's a lot of things that you can do to modify your dietary habits. And definitely the smoking is the biggest thing, the risk of heart disease, not the heart disease, the other vascular disease as a stroke or the lung cancer. So definitely avoid smoking and patient need a good night's sleep. The stress is the biggest thing. Patient don't sleep well. Having a lack of sleep affect the heart. We have seen a lot of heart disease, heart failure in people with sleep apnea, patient with the lack of sleep. So having a good night's 5 to 7 hours of sleep, reducing your stress level. So these are the things that you can modify. That's what we call modified risk factor. And definitely it's shown over years and years of data we have and looked at it. If you modify this risk factor, definitely you can cut back on your risk of heart disease.
So all the many patients that you've seen, is there any one element that you can point to that you could say this risk factor has been predominant in most of these people? Is it something that's hereditary, something from or is people that have commonly smoke on a regular basis? Is there one thing you could point to, Doc, or is it always several things?
I noticed most of them is a combination of the risk factors. Whether they have a family history of heart disease and they have smoking together, they have a diabetes, they have a high blood pressure. I also noticed that each 4 or 5 of the risk factors I mentioned, they are independent. So even the smoking is enough to get you on heart disease if you have just smoking for 30 years. By the time you get to the 50 years old, you will find a lot of calcium buildup. But that's why I like the calcium score, because a lot of patients has a one risk factor. Some people have no risk factors. They have just have a family history of heart disease, or some patients just have a stressful life, you know, sedentary lifestyle. So by doing a calcium, you can detect, well, the process is already started. You see the calcium inside the artery. Now I need to do something to prevent the future building of the plaque. So again, I find that this is really help the patient to modify their lifestyle much better once they know they already start having a plaque.
And that goes back to that CT scan.
Yes, go back to CT scan.
You know, there's always a lot of controversy about whether to take aspirin or not take aspirin, stomach bleeding. What, you know, where do we go with that, Doc?
Yeah, it's been aspirin has been definitely is a controversy. There's a lot of news and recent article came out, because in the past, you know, if you look at 25, 30 years ago before the stent came out and patient have a heart attack, we just give aspirin and patients sit there in the hospital for 4 or 5 days. And we know that aspirin prevent the heart disease at the time. Lately, a lot of research came out that do everybody needs aspirin or not? And then we also noticed they have a risk of having a peptic ulcer disease called stomach bleeding. What I recommend in patient, if you have already have a heart disease established, so if you have already has a stent, if you already has a coronary artery disease, if you already has a lot of plaque by the CT scan and the calcium score is high, this patient will benefit from the aspirin. And we call low-dose aspirin 81 milligrams to prevent you the future heart disease. But if you don't have any heart disease and your calcium score comes out zero, and you know you have, your doctor did all the testing, came out negative, then I don't see any benefit for having aspirin. In the past, patients we have a diabetes or some risk factor, they're all taking aspirin, and we saw that as we get older, after age of 60 or 70, aspirin can cause stomach bleeding. So if you don't have any heart disease, then I personally don't see any benefit for taking aspirin for long term.
And the aspirin you did take, I think, didn't they recommend taking baby aspirin?
Yeah, we call low dose 81 milligrams of aspirin, yeah.
Okay, so it's just a matter of knowing yourself, and if you're not sure, then talking to your doctor and getting his recommendations and, you know, finding out what's going on. Are there any new things that are coming out, Doc, in the future here as far as, you know, your profession, cardiology? I know there's things happening all the time. And I know you have to be reading all the time about new drugs and new things. There's so many new things that are out there. Are there any new techniques or things that are happening now that are out there?
I think in the coronary artery disease, particularly in this topic today, we are talking about, it's mainly the how you control your risk factors. And I would say, you know, obesity is the biggest thing, and a lot of patient cannot exercise. So there is a drugs out there to lose the weight, which is a two drug has been approved by FDA. And there's a pros and cons of any medication you try. There's a new other invasive treatments out there to help you to lose weight. We have a lot of great therapy for the cholesterol lowering agent. And one of the key things, hyperlipidemia is one of the major independent risk factor for heart disease. A lot of people don't like statin therapy. So there are other medications out there that is in an injected form that can reduce or lower your cholesterol level and prevent the future heart disease. So the new drug therapy is out there. New testing is out there. But ultimately, I would say it is up to you. I think you can prevent the heart disease. I think these are the preventable disease. And over the years, yes, the coronary artery disease carries significant the mortality. But if you modify the risk factor, you can lower your risk of having a future cardiac events.
Just out of curiosity, have you seen the heart disease in very young people, Doc?
Yes. Certain ethnic group we have seen, we have recently 35-year-old software engineer patient came with heart disease. You know, definitely had a smoking history and family history. So I personally think the heart disease is not a disease of old age. You know, I've seen 35-year-old, I've seen 70 years. So it's the vast where the age group we have seen that. It just is all ultimately goes back on how you do your lifestyle. So all depending upon the lifestyle, it builds up. And, you know, a lot of data in the past, we found that the cholesterol plaque start building up when you are 18 or 17-year-old.
Really?
So think about it. If you since then, let's see, if you're not watching your diet, having a bad habit like smoking, having a diabetes and a lot of risk factor, by the time 20 years from that, guarantee you're gonna have calcium built up in your heart disease, and by the time you reach 50, you're gonna have a good chances you're gonna have a heart attack. So this process started so earlier. So I tell my patient, do not wait. A lot of people say, well, I'll change my lifestyle once I get retired. It's too far, too late.
Right.
So I tell my patient that they definitely see the physician follow up, do a cholesterol testing, you know, after age of 30, 35. Check your blood pressure testing, check your sugar.
You know, I didn't realize that at the age of 18, it begins to build up at such a young age. I mean, I'm thinking about that right now. It's like, wow, I never thought about that. That's just amazing that I don't think most people realize that it builds up at the age of 18. You know, because you're young, you're 18, what could happen, right? I mean, you're invincible.
When we do a CT calcium score, you know, one of the patients, 40-year-old, we did it, and their calcium score was high. And he said, well, the calcium score is a representation of the last 10, 15 years of the calcium buildup. So if I do calcium score today, it shows that what last 10, 15 years you've been doing it with your diet, exercise, and risk factor. It's not just happened in the last 6 months. It's not just happened in the last 1 month. So it shows that if I see a plaque in age 40, 45-year-old, it tells me it started developing when you're 30-year-old. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this time we have spent with Dr. Gandhi from the Advocate System, and he's shared a lot of information with us. We'd like to have him back in 2 or 3 months to talk further about coronary disease and how to take care of your heart and what you should be doing. We want to thank Dr. Gandhi for being here today with us. You've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com, contact us, and you can get this show, and it also streams. Thank you, folks, for listening, and have a great day.